Well, hello and welcome everyone to the first edition of Future Nurse Notes Live. I'm Natasha Phillips and I am the founder of Future Nurse Community. We've got a really exciting show for you today. Some great guests. Coming up will be cybersafe healthcare in nursing. Who thought I would say that exciting, but really it is. And we've got guests from BT joining to talk about the research that they did recently into this important agenda. And then we're going to roll on to talking about one of my personal passions, which is developing people. And we're going to be joined by Richard Cox, who is the CNIO for Manchester Foundation Trust, who Future Nurse and Salford University recently delivered a program to, which was about building data-driven change skills for their digital research and innovation community.
Welcome to Future Nurse Notes Live from Future Nurse, bringing nurses and tech together for better care.
So it's been a really busy month for Future Nurse. All the consulting work we do on a day-to-day basis, but in between there's been lots of events, and Rewired is a particular standout. I felt like there was much more of a buzz about the place. What was really interesting to see was the amount of products that were available for ambient on the trade floor. We hear a lot about ambient, and I think there's still a bit of a healthy dose of skepticism and nervousness and worry about how we might implement this in our everyday nursing practice. But it was really evident from the tools that are available that there's opportunity here for us. We know how much time we spend documenting care and then trying to retrieve that information to join up care, and really having our own personal assistant, our own personal note taker that's on our shoulder listening in as we speak to the patients could be a really great way of saving some of that time. And it's not just about the time saving. I think it's about the fact that it means that you could be maintaining eye contact with the patient and be in relationship with the patient rather than eyes down and looking at a workstation on wheels. So real opportunity. I think the nurses that were there was a huge nursing community. I felt the excitement about that from then, but still some trepidation. And I think as we evolve as an organisation, we're really keen to sort of take that conversation forward as a community, and we'll be looking at how we work with the health tech providers who provide that sort of technology and how we use our events and other ways that we all get to speak to each other to really start to take that conversation forward and see where there might be opportunities to learn from each other in terms of piloting. There were some of the nurses who were piloting this tech, and I hope maybe one of them might come on the podcast in the future to tell us about how they're getting on. As ever, there were a phenomenal amount of sessions and the usual stuff from our NHS England colleagues. I think everyone was a little bit anxious about what would we hear, because it isn't so long since the announcement that NHS England will be going. And so it was nice to see lots of my NHS England colleagues with a smile on their face, even though they were somewhat anxious. And I thought what was really nice is I think we felt the community wrapped around them, which was really important. But for those getting on stage, that was even more tricky. And they did a sterling job, really. We all know, as Lord Darcy said, that the move from analogue to digital is vital in any new NHS. Alongside that shift from hospital to community and treatment to prevention. But the questions remain about what does this move from analogue to digital look like? So I took from the event that it's really clear we can see that from the sorts of technologies that were being displayed and being talked about. But a lot of the answers about how we get there were not there. And that's because it's very early days, I guess, since that NHS England announcement. Oh, there were some fantastic sessions that I was involved in. I was quite nervous about the AI bake-off that I was asked to participate in. But we had great fun curating and crafting the session. And we curated it around a patient who was a community patient who had had a fall at home. What was great was I approached this in the way I always do, which was harness the community that is Future Nurse to say, hey guys, I'm about to do this thing. If you were me, what would you be saying? What are the things I should pay attention to? And it was lovely to see Antonia Brown front and centre in the audience there to support me on the day, knowing that she'd given me lots of advice as a community CNIO. But what was super interesting and really opened my eyes is how much AI is moving on. So when we looked back at a similar session last year and what ChatGPT could offer, it was quite limited. When we put John, our patient, through this system, and his daughter was, the scenario was his daughter was asking ChatGPT, what do I do? My dad's fallen at home. He's got all these comorbidities. What do I do next? Where do I go? The answers from ChatGPT were actually pretty good and pretty accurate. So there's certainly a role here. And I guess the key learning is, though, that it can still hallucinate and give the wrong advice. So there was a lot that, as much as was right, was wrong. So our professional voice in shaping AI will be really important. The other thing that the Future Nurse team have been really focused on this month is establishing our advisory board, who will be really vital to steering the work that we do to serve this community. We have made sure that we have very senior, experienced nurses globally and also nationally, as well as nurses across the whole care spectrum and hierarchy of nursing. So I'm going to have the joy of interviewing some early career nurses this week and choosing the early career nurse that will represent that population in our advisory panel. And really grateful to those of you that responded to our call for that. We're really looking forward to launching the full panel, where you will get to be part of the decision-making team on exactly what Future Nurse becomes. Okay, well, that's enough of that. That's my busy month gone by. Let's welcome our guests, Samara, Ellie, and Richard.
You're listening to Future Nurse Notes Live with Natasha Phillips.
When I was asked recently to be a panel member on an event to launch the guidance that British Telecom have put out, I was a bit nervous, truth be told, because I thought, I'm not sure I actually know that much about cyber. And I've probably been really fortunate in my career in that I haven't ever had to manage a huge cyber event, although I have had to manage lots of downtime in my career as a digital nurse. And I guess that's what came to the fore when I crowdsourced some information from our community, which said, this is something we care about. We often have to manage the fallout when it goes wrong. We don't think our business continuity plans are robust enough. We don't understand enough about our resilience and don't feel we're involved enough in the resilience planning to inform it as people who are very experienced at dealing with major incidents at the front line, and that really there isn't sufficient training for people in cyber. So in a busy clinical world, it's really easy to just click a link that you shouldn't, because you're rapidly trying to deliver patient care and clicking through all the screens in front of you in a frantic way in order to get to the bit you need to deliver that particular care at that particular time. So I thought, as the community was so interested, why not invite Ellie and Samara to tell us a bit more about the work that's going on at BT?
Lovely. So I'm Samara Latimer here at BT Health and Communities, and I work with provider organisations on their path to digital transformation.
Hi there, I'm Ellie Chambers. I'm a cybersecurity specialist manager. So I run a team focused on helping customers understand their security challenges across health and communities.
We're also joined by Richard Cox today. Richard, could you introduce yourself, please?
Thanks, Natasha. I'm Richard. I'm the Chief Nursing Informatics Officer at Manchester University NHS Foundation Trust.
So, Ellie, Samara, you've heard a bit from me about what our community are saying are their concerns and where they think we need to focus effort. From your perspectives, how does that fit with the work that you've done at BT to understand A, what people think, and B, the actual work in terms of responding to it?
Last September, we commissioned an independent survey of 76 staff across 59 different NHS and integrated care system organisations. Well, the reason we did this was just kind of as you said, we wanted to understand what were the real frontline challenges that our NHS were dealing with, and therefore how we could as a business help support these challenges, especially in a cybersecurity concerned world. Over the last few years, we've seen more and more cyber incidents within NHS organisations, and it's an issue that affects every single person that works with or for the NHS, and it's everyone's responsibility to try and come up with solutions to make sure that our NHS runs more smoothly and efficiently, and that we are more protected from cyber incidents. So we've done this big piece of research, And then we hosted our event, which thank you so much for joining us a few weeks ago. This was to really launch this ebook that we've created off the back of that research and try and share the knowledge and share the outcomes that we've found that hopefully can help NHS trusts make more informed decisions about cyber and how to kind of focus their spend and their efforts.
Tamara, you're out working with customers in the NHS and beyond every day. You know, what are you hearing from them?
Yeah, exactly. The data backs up the sentiment that you were sharing with us there, Natasha, because the survey found the vast majority, so that's 94% of staff, understand they've got a role in protecting the NHS from cyber attacks. So we've got this increased awareness. And then in addition, in terms of the public, 60% of the public out in the country, they're worried about what a cyber incident might do to their data. It's worrying because I am hearing increasingly when, not if, when leaders are talking about their cyber posture, their cyber resilience. Yeah, there's a palpable worry, sense of worry, I think, at the moment about cyber resilience in healthcare.
And I think that's the bit that our community felt like they're less involved in or understand less. So they were really clear that we need to tackle training attendance. But what they also said was it would be really great if we could just trust and rely in the system. So we shouldn't have to spend too much time thinking about cyber. We acknowledge that we need training so that there's an awareness. But what else can be done to make our systems as secure as possible? And there was a really great quote from one of the nurses in the community who basically said, data is only as secure as the understanding of cybersecurity of every single user. So training's an issue. Where can BT support here? And then how are you supporting structures so that maybe we have less of a reliance on training, which is the weakest mitigation when we talk about digital clinical safety?
So from a BT perspective, we are a huge organisation. We are part of critical national infrastructure, and therefore we are a target for lots of different cyber attacks, lots of different ransomware attacks. And we have to develop our own internal security posture to an extremely high level to make sure that we are protected from these kind of events. The way that we take that from a kind of people side and from a security training side is that we talk to our people about being the human firewall. And that means being super cyber aware in terms of everything that we do when we come to interacting with our systems and our data. And that's a mentality that we encourage all of our customers, but obviously, especially in the NHS, to take on board. And I think that's a really hard cultural shift to make, because we are all at the end of the day responsible for the cybersecurity of the organizations that we work in. And we find that if you are focused on you yourself as the human firewall, that you are thinking about every time that you're interacting with data and systems, that you're more likely to think about the impact of if you did let something slip through the net. And we all see it in our own personal lives. I'm sure you've got lots of emails and calls trying to get your personal information. We've got to treat our company information and our organization information in the same way. So we have the strap line, stop, think, protect. If you have an even a smallest concern that something could be leading you down the wrong path, then take a moment. Nothing is ever that urgent. Stop, think about what that potentially the impact of that could be, and act as that human firewall for the NHS. And we've developed our own security awareness training platform, which is coming very, very soon. And this is not just a, you know, you do the training once, you click the button and then you move on, but actually an ongoing program to make sure that everyone within an organization is continually developing their skill around cyber.
So I was just going to back that up with some more of the data from the research, Ellie, because phishing is the culprit behind 84% of cyber breaches in the UK. So that human firewall is vitally important, and seeing it as a continual golden thread in an organisation is what's needed, because this isn't going to go away. We've all seen it in our personal lives as well, the amount of texts, emails that Ellie was just describing.
Richard, do you mind if I come to you and ask, like, at MFT, is cybersecurity training mandated? How does it work? And how involved are your team in this?
It is part of our mandatory training. It's part of our information governance training. I think sometimes what's lacking is the context of why does that matter to me and what is my role? We've talked about the human firewall there. Well, what what is my role in that? What can I do? So I think there's definitely more that can be done. We have policies, we have specific roles around cybersecurity, but again, how does that translate to the nurse that's delivering that care on the ground? And it's understanding that, and it goes back to your point of how do we become more involved in those discussions?
The life of a nurse and any clinician in the NHS is we have a phenomenal amount of mandatory training to do each year, and we all think, here comes mandatory training again, and we've got to get through all this stuff. Sometimes things like our basic life support feel like they are more important. So it's hard to get people excited about the cyber bit, but ultimately it feels like it's as important, and there's some similarity here, isn't there? And it's likely to be a rare event, but you need to be really well prepared. And so, yes, that training needs to come to life to make it feel that way. And then how do we continue with sort of ongoing messages so that it's not just an annual thing to remember your cyber? I really liked the human firewall, but you also had 3 points that you made, Ellie. Can you remind us what they were?
So it's stop, think, and then protect. You take a second, you stop, you think about what someone is actually asking you to do. Is that right? And in the end, you make the right decision to protect your organisation.
Thank you, Ellie. That's been a really fascinating conversation, and there's so much that we haven't touched. We could talk about this all day. But one of the things that might be useful for people listening is to go and have a look at the report that you recently published. We'll make the link available in the show notes. But Ellie, do you want to remind us the title of that report, please?
Yeah, of course. So it's the BT Health Report 2025, and it's called Building Cyber Resilient Healthcare.
Thank you ever so much. So now we're going to move on to talk about the really exciting programme that Richard Cox, CNIO at MFT, commissioned from Future Nurse and University of Salford. It must be about 18 months ago or more now, Richard, that we were sat in the sun discussing. You've got a digital team. You are one of those very lucky CNIOs who has a team, and rightly so, to make sure that your organisation can continually evolve from a digital perspective. And we talked about the big data set that you have in your new EPR and how perhaps the team could do with some further support and development to think about how they might optimise that. So so we merrily went away and co-designed a programme, didn't we? And now it's underway. And Richard, tell everyone a bit more about the programme.
It has been quite the journey, hasn't it? So like you say, 18 months, it started with a conversation with our chief nurse, recognising that we've gone through a massive digital transformation in the organisation, and we were presented with data that we'd never really had before, loads of opportunities, but making sure that our users had the skills to work with data. And we knew that was a bit of a gap there, and it hasn't been really addressed in any other kind of training previously. So working with Future Nurse, University of Salford, we designed that programme of really working with or supporting frontline leaders of how to use data and the responsibilities around data as well. So that was looking at ethics of data, looking a bit of user-centered design, digital inclusion, also looking at the future as well. And our frontline leaders were putting their learning into practice as well. And there's been a range of projects that we've seen be developed over time. Some of those may be looking at dashboards, some of it may be even looking at just improving data quality, making sure we're getting really good data into our system so we can report and really understand our patients more and more. So it started in October 2024. It is a programme open to nurses, midwives and HPs, so it's really nicely professionally inclusive. We've got 30 people on the course, and the foundations are obviously around digital, but also supports research and QI as well, which is key to our NMAP strategy as well.
I really liked that, Richard, because originally we thought we'd just have the digital clinical nurse specialist, didn't we? But I think bringing QI and research is really important because they're often forgotten, but all in our digital space. But altogether, what you end up with is focusing your digital change on how you can improve, and ultimately that improvement perhaps generating evidence about how to do things better. So I think that was pretty inspired of you to push to have all three groups together. And I've certainly noticed in the classroom the different communities and where their heads are at, and they've all developed some quite different things. Some of them in research space sort of actually improving pathways, where others have said we're going to build a data set. But as much as we've brought leaders from industry and the health service and academics from the university. I think there's been as much learning between the students themselves. Would you agree?
I agree. And I think that's what's been really lovely about this. It's created its own little community that these 30 leaders are working together through projects as well. They've got connections. They're looking at how they can scale that information out across the across the organisation as well. So it's been a really great 6 months.
The principle of the design was to work at an organisational level, so bringing people within one organisation rather than, you know, lots of disparate learners, but assuming that the collective learning going back into the organisation would mean that they could support each other. And we've seen them do that, haven't we? Point each other in the right direction. But that bit where we reconnect the trust executive again, it was great, wasn't it, when David Wellacher joined us to open, and then he talked because he was so excited about it, which was brilliant. I'm really looking forward to him coming at the end to hear those 30 projects, and we've had the delight of hearing how those are evolving. But I think it will be quite impactful to have other members of the trust, particularly senior leaders, hear what those people have done and hear what the challenges are in terms of delivering improvement.
I think that's really important, is hearing some of those challenges. How do we make the data as accessible as possible to our frontline leaders so they can do research, so they can do quality improvement at pace as well? So I think that will be a key message that we'll hear.
Yeah, I think so. And also that it's not all about the EPR. The EPR data is important, but how can they use it well? And I would think it's probably fair to say that we're all learning that in the NHS at the moment, that suddenly we have a huge data lake, massive amounts of data, but we're not quite there yet in knowing how we make best use of it. So it feels like you at MFT will have a really important learning to share more widely across the NHS. Do you have any thoughts on how you might do that?
That's a good question, Natasha. I think there's a lot we can do. I think it's how this project can, or this programme can scale across other NHS trusts. It's how we empower our learners to spread those messages to their teams as well. And I think it's part of many other parts of education, learning, what's going on as well.
And when I think about our mission at Future Nurse, which is to bring health tech and our profession closer together to learn from each other, we've got two, you know, fantastic knowledge bases here that brought together could achieve great goods. I'm thinking about Samara. BT are experts at handling massive data sets and do all sorts of cool stuff. I've been to your client experience centre and been blown away. What do you make of what you're hearing? And do you think there's a role for BT or other industry partners to do more to support this type of learning in the NHS?
I do, Natasha. I picked up on the word there that Richard said, empower. And I think when we start to empower more of the patient-facing staff, such as nurses and AHPs and others, that the insight and experiences they have and the solutions that they can bring to the table, powered by technology, deserve that platform to become a reality. That word to me is so powerful, empowering people to know that what they can see and create is valid and can be achieved.
I think knowledge is power, isn't it? So the more that we can grow knowledge bases, the more we can do here. And I'm really pleased that a large number of those students are now going to have the opportunity to go on and make this a postgraduate certificate level qualification. And perhaps some have even expressed interest in going further and doing doctoral studies. So really excited to see what they will churn out, because so much of our digital practice doesn't really have an evidence base, and we as a community could do so much more in the translational research space, working with industry as well to start to really evidence new ways of working and even evidence existing ways of working, and perhaps even get into ways where some of that evidence becomes so codified that it's AI, and we might have some of the really cool stuff that I've seen in your customer experience centre, Samara, used much more widely across the system.
Exciting.
Thank you, everyone, for joining our first of the Future Nurse podcasts. Really grateful to the guests that we had join us today. Thank you, Ellie, Samara, and Richard. You had great insights to share, and also were willing to speak about things that you didn't even know that you would be speaking about. So appreciate that. If there were things that you heard about today that you're excited about and want to know more, I suggest visiting futurenurse.uk, where you can sign up to our regular newsletter, where you'll hear more about this stuff, or join us on LinkedIn. And for those that were particularly interested in the learning programme, do reach out via Future Nurse and we can talk about how a programme like that might support your organisation to build a research, innovation, digital community of change agents.
Future Nurse is bringing nurses and tech together for better care. Hear it on Future Nurse Notes Live, the Future Nurse podcast. Read it in Future Nurse Notes, the Future Nurse newsletter. Sign up at futurenurse.uk.
How great was that? And a few more things before I sign off. One of the things I really wanted to call out to you was the NIHR call for funding. It's a really exciting opportunity. We've talked a lot today in the programme about nurses leading change. I think that MFT programme was really exciting to hear about. But this is a particular fund led by the National Institute for Health Research, and it's about translation of healthcare innovations, tackling health inequalities. And really what it aims to do is expand the entrepreneurial mindset. And hey, isn't that what we're about at Future Nurse? So if you want to bag £150,000 over 9 months and be part of a development program, as well as developing your own tech innovation about health inequalities, then you need to visit the NIHR website. The call's open until the 16th of May, and we'll make sure that we share the link with you in our show notes. Before our next podcast, we've also got a great event coming up in partnership with Elsevier. We're going to have the amazing Professor Gemma Stacey talking about person-centered care. We really want to explore how digital documentation systems can support nurses to deliver person-centered care, and indeed how it might get in the way so that we can work out how we do it better. You can look forward to reading the outputs of that sometime after the event. You can hear more next month. It's a beautiful month. Always makes us smile. I'm definitely smiling at the moment. And there's some lovely stuff coming up. My favourite event of the year is the commemoration service for Florence Nightingale at Westminster Abbey. Comes up on the 12th of May. Really looking forward to be there. Always a reminder of the power of nursing, our unique knowledge base, and how we should all continue to drive forward the valuable work that we do every day. That procession of the lamp always gets me. And another thing that's coming up that I'm really excited about on the same day as the Florence Nightingale event is, of course, International Nurses Day, and not long before that, International Day of the Midwife. A real week to celebrate the unique contribution we make to patients and people every day. A chance to reflect on what we do in what's been a really difficult year. We saw the report from the Royal College of Nursing about corridor care. We know that numbers of applications for nursing are down. It's a really difficult time, but this is a time to recognise, celebrate and share with others the great work we do every day and all the things that are good about being a nurse as we try and drive up and have many, many more future nurses forever for our future. So, can you believe it? It's been busy and the time has just flown by, and that's it. That's all we've got time for this month. So look up Future Nurse on LinkedIn and follow us, and make sure you like and follow our podcast. You can find all the show notes, which will have all the links to the things that we've talked about today, the references like the BT guidance. And if there's anything that you think we should be talking about, anything you particularly want to hear about, do get in touch, and we'll give that some consideration before we meet again at the end of May. See you then.
Join us next time on Future Nurse Notes Live. From Future Nurse, bringing nurses and tech together for better care.